Hi, this is Allison Sheridan of the NoSillaCast podcast, a tech geek podcast with a slight Macintosh bias. Today is November 23rd, 2005, and this is show number 13, Lucky 13. Well, I've been continuing to make improvements to podfeet.com. Don't know if you've noticed, but I've been hard at work slaving away. The main thing that was bugging me about the site was that even though I had that lovely header saying podfeet.com at the top and with the NoSillaCast podcast logo, you couldn't really go home by clicking on that. So I did some work, and I was able to figure out how to make that clickable so that you can just go home by clicking on the header. I used a lot of the help from the WordPress wiki, where you can go in and get a lot of good help. I think I mentioned that in my last podcast. Almost anything I want to go look for, I just click in there and I can hunt around and find the solution to my problems. And they actually had a little bit of code you could cut and paste in and make it just work just fine. The other thing that I did was there's the boxes on the right, like where you see the web pages and the archives and that sort of thing. This is a teeny little nit, but listener Niraj was very irritated by the fact that you could see a line running down through the middle of those that was kind of part of a ghosting image from below. The inventor of that particular theme, Ocadia, is a woman from a site called Beckery, and she said that she did it intentionally, but I was able to dig into the fields and figure out exactly which graphic files were being pulled by WordPress, which is not so easy because I'm learning PHP, like I said before. I'm digging around in there trying to figure it out. And then I had to figure out why it had lines through it and how to fuss with that in Photoshop and fix it. But did a lot of work on that, and I think it looks a teeny weeny bit better, and hopefully Niraj won't be so irritated when he looks at the website. One of the biggest things I did that's probably actually useful to the common user is that I worked on putting buttons on the website that actually allow you to click on them and instantaneously subscribe to the NoSillaCast, so you don't have to go through these elaborate instructions I've been giving before. If you look on the right-hand side, one of the links is called How to Subscribe to NoSillaCast. If you click on that, you're going to get three or four buttons along there. One is for iTunes, which works pretty well. One is for a site called Odeo, and I don't really understand why, but for some reason, when you go to Odeo, just pay no attention to the fact that if you click to listen to one of my podcasts there, I sound like the chipmunks. I don't know why it's sped up, and I've asked them why that is, because other people's podcasts don't seem to do that. So take your chances in Odeo. The third way that's in there is Yahoo. I think I described that last week. Yahoo now has podcasts, and their login seems to be pretty good. Their ability to do subscription seems pretty good, but you do have to put in a login to get in there, so kind of a hassle. I personally prefer iTunes. The fourth button that I put in there was a button for the RSS feed, so if you want to go read the show notes in RSS, and if you like looking at things that way, if you know what RSS is and care, you'll care about that. If you don't, you don't really care. I wish I could figure out how to put in the buttons actually right on the right-hand side on every page, but those iTunes, Odeo, and Yahoo buttons, but I don't really know how to do that. So I'm still learning how to do these kinds of things in WordPress. Well, let's do a couple of freeware and shareware reviews. I have spoken a few times about the fact that I use Audacity, but I haven't actually done a full review on that before. Audacity is open source software, so it's free. It's from audacity.sourceforge.net. As always, all of these links are in the show notes. And it's the recording tool that I use for recording the NoSillaCast. I'm recording with it right now. One of the coolest things about this is it is cross-platform, so it works under OS X, Windows, GNU, Linux, and other operating systems. They don't go specifically into how far it goes, but it seems like it works under a lot of different operating systems. I think the software and people who can do cross-platform work are the ones who are really going to win at this game. The people I admire the most are the operating system agnostics, like my friend Ryan. I just like the way he doesn't care what operating system it is. They're all exciting and interesting, and learn what you can on all of them. I wish I was a little more like him in that. I'm pretty Mac-centric, but I'm trying to keep my eyes open. So anyway, Audacity records in a proprietary format in general, but then it'll export to MP3 or Ogg Vorbis or WAVE. Ogg Vorbis is a format that a lot of the audiophiles are getting excited about. I'm not making my feeds in all three formats. I'm just sticking with MP3. I don't figure my audience is maybe sophisticated enough to really worry about that sort of thing. when you do the export to MP3 from Audacity, it does take a fair amount of time to do the compression. It's not an instantaneous, oh, now it's save as kind of thing. So it's actually doing the compression. It takes maybe 10 minutes for a 20-minute podcast to do the compression. But I'm usually tired by the time I finish recording this, so a good 10-minute break is not a bad thing. There's traditional buttons along the top. There's kind of a real nice, pretty little format there where it has a triangle for record, a circle for the first stop recording, two bars for pause, square for stop, and then a fast forward and fast rewind, just like you're used to seeing on the old tape decks and on just about any kind of recording device. This control bar can either be floating or docked. I leave it alone. I leave it docked. I just figured out when I was messing around in the menus that you can move it around. One thing I really like is that it's easy to import audio from other sources and splice tracks together. So like last week when I played the song Famous by the Lascivious Biddies, I didn't record it while I was playing, while I was doing my own recording, because I'm just not that coordinated to actually record one thing, stop it, start me talking. That just never would happen. So what I did was I imported the file, the MP3 file of the Lascivious Biddies in as one track. I recorded my voice as a second track, and then I slid my voice over to the right and left until it ended up the clip that I wanted to have played. I was coming in after that. And then there's effects that you can apply. You can apply fade in, fade out. It's super easy. You just kind of drag your cursor across the section you want to fade in or out, and then you go up to effects and you say fade out, and you can change what percentage it fades out. Like, does it do, you know, how fast it does the fade out. You could select longer regions so it would do the fade out slower, or you can make it just slower, you know, less of a fade out. Very easy to control, very intuitive how to do that. My husband Steve messed around with me with it, but it took us 2 minutes to do that. It was no big deal, and we didn't even know what we were really doing. Well, he'll tell you he knows what he's doing because he does it in GarageBand and iMovie and those kinds of things. But anyway, it was pretty intuitive. You can record in mono or stereo, so the Lascivious Biddies was stereo, but my feed was mono, so in the end it came out mono. Hope that didn't disturb anyone. It has good controls for the microphone volume for input. You just slide up the microphone up and down and slide out your speakers in and out. It's got little tools for clipping and cutting, and the icons are pretty self-explanatory. Looks real nice. The effects that you can do in there are really extensive. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, like putting in wah-wah and reverb and all that kind of crazy stuff. The one I used the most, or was the most intrigued by, was the noise removal. So what I do is leave a 10 seconds of background noise at the beginning, like I just sit here quietly for 10 seconds, and then you can use that as kind of your ambient noise level, and you can subtract that from your entire recording. So the nice thing is if you've got some sort of consistent noise in the background, like the, I don't know, the dryer running in the background kind of a thing, which seems to always be running when I'm doing my podcast, but anyway, you can just remove that noise off the top. I do it sometimes. I usually check it to see how big of a difference it makes. If it doesn't make a big difference, I don't bother doing it. But it's kind of a neat little tool and handy there. There's a zoom in, zoom out tool, so you can little magnifying glass, so you can select an area and say, I want to zoom in on that and look at the graphical view of the sound. And that's really handy when you're trying to splice in, or oh, one of my first podcasts, I know my son Kyle came in and hit me in the head with a pillow, and I was quite irritated with him, and I decided I didn't really want that to stay in the podcast. So I went in and was able to just clip that out. In the future, I would leave a big pause after the part I was trying to get rid of, so at least I could find it. It's a little easier if you have a flat spot to look for. But it does really help to zoom in and zoom out, that you can find the precise point that some certain effect happened. The thing I like about this tool is it's real easy to figure out, and yet it's clear that there's a lot more features that I don't even know how to use yet. So I'm excited. I like a tool I can grow into but doesn't scare the pants off me when I first get in. Kind of like a game, you know. I like games that you can mess around with and kind of get an idea of how they work, and then if you want to keep playing, you learn a lot more. The ones that are too hard at the beginning, I just throw them away and go, never mind, too slow. Another tool I would like to talk about is a tool called Feeder. It's $30 US, and it's a program that allows you to create the RSS feed for a podcast. It's from Reinvented Software, and it's a real tiny little site. They only make two products. Their second product I'm going to review at a later date. It's called Kit. But for right now, I'm just going to talk about Feeder. It creates the RSS feed, which is the code. It's in what's called XML, which I still don't understand the difference between XML and HTML. It reads just kind of like English, and you can really tell what it is. I did hand coding of this to start with, but now I'm using Feeder. But this is the code that makes the NosillaCast magically come into iTunes and into your other podcatching clients. So this is a piece of code, but it's got some funny little tags they call ID3 tags that take the podcast and these ID3 tags, and it converts it and makes it able for tools like iTunes to know what's in the podcast. It tells it who created it, when it was posted, how long it is, and you can even include your show notes in these tags. So my show notes actually come into iTunes. If you look on iTunes at my podcast, if you look in a new podcast, you'll see a little eye at the far right, and for some reason you have to scroll over to see it, which I think is lame in iTunes. But anyway, little tiny eye over at the right, if you click that, you'll actually see the show notes for that podcast. They don't come out in HTML for some reason, even though I give it to it in HTML. But it does kind of give you an idea of what's going on in the podcast, and you can go look at the links and that sort of thing later. The magic thing about Feeder, and the reason it's better than doing it by hand, is these guys have figured out the secret tags that iTunes uses. iTunes goes through, and Apple came out with their own ID3 tag. So even though the logo that you can have with your picture is the same in everybody else's Podcatcher client, when you put it into iTunes, it won't show up. You have to do it a separate way. You have to do the homepage a separate way, the feed location a separate way. It's all these things. And so I couldn't figure out how to do it. And then I heard Adam Christensen on the MacCast say that he uses Feeder. And then Leo Laporte said he used Feeder. So I figured, well, that must be the tool of choice. And since it's only $30, that seemed like a good idea. The last thing you do with Feeder after you've plugged in all this information is you push a button and it publishes it directly to your website. So I told it once where the FTP site was for my website, and I'm able to push a button and it gets it in there. It also allows me to create more than one feed, and that sounds like something crazy because I'm not going to do more than one podcast, but what I have been doing is demonstrating to people at work how easy it is to create a feed and create a podcast. So I've got a mutant version at work where I've got a bunch of goofy little things, you know, where I tell people here, talking to this microphone, and then I show them how easy it is to store it and send it up to a website we have internally at work. So I've got these separate podcasts. Feeds, and that kind of makes it easy because I've got it, I can keep them separate and be able to manage it. There's one danger I found. If you click on a feed, on an entire feed, and you say delete, it's gone. It's just way gone. It's not kind of gone. It's not undelete gone. It's gone, gone. So that's kind of a dangerous thing to do. So I don't recommend pushing that button at all. An alternative, if you're using a PC, if you're under Windows, since Feeder is a Mac-only application, is to use an application called Feed for All. It's $25 US, and it's $40, and it's at feedforall.com. I haven't used that product myself, but I understand that's a relatively equivalent product to Feeder. Well, it's time for the weekly movie review, and I've actually got two of them here. We saw House of D on Friday night. This is written and directed by actor David Duchovny, and he's actually, so he wrote it, he directed it, he acted in it, he's all over this movie. It's the story of a 13-year-old boy in New York, played by an actor named Anton Yelchin. His mother's played by Tia Leone, who, by the way, is Duchovny's wife, and his best friend is Robin Williams, who plays a retarded janitor. Duchovny plays the boy when he grows up, but the real joy in this movie is the actor Anton Yelchin. This kid is just amazing. I just really, really liked him. Very, very likable. He was funny. During the sad scenes, he played the tragedy really, really well. This is one of those movies that's all sweet and happy and fun at the beginning, like for the first third, but you just know they're going to reach in and rip your heart out. And they kind of do, but not so much that you like need a whole lot of Kleenex, maybe one, not that bad. And then, of course, it's all happy at the end, and I kind of like that kind of movie. If you're expecting Raining Blood, this is not the movie for you, but I thought it was a lot of fun. Duchovny was okay as an actor, but you know he kind of just acted like David Duchovny. He doesn't seem to have more than one character from what I've seen of him. But his direction was really good. The movie was well done. Tia Leone's mildly interesting. I've seen her do a better job in other things. And Robin Williams is pretty good, but I didn't really buy him as a retarded man. He was a great character, but he didn't seem like he was all that mentally disabled. By the way, I'm saying retarded because that's the word they use throughout the movie, and that's actually part of something that happens in the book. In the movie, that the way they talk about things in 1973, it comes up quite a bit, and that's the way I said it. Hope I didn't offend anybody there. Anyway, overall, it's enjoyable and interesting. It kept my attention. It made me happy at the end. So I would I'd recommend it. Worth the $3 to rent it. The second movie we rented was called Out of Season, and I'm not going to tell you anything about it except that even Dennis Hopper being in it did not save this. Do not rent this movie. It's 100% waste of your time, energy, and definitely not worth $3. I wouldn't be paid $3 to watch that movie again. It was stupid. So one thing you're probably wondering is, how did I get this professional podcast going, making it the podcast that it is today? Well, I read a great book that taught me a lot, and I wanted to take the time. I was trying to get far enough through the book that I could actually give an adequate review of it before I went on, and I think I'm ready to do that now. The book is called Podcasting Do-It-Yourself Guide. It's $20 US, $26 Canadian, or £13. And it's by Todd Cochran, who's the creator of the podcast Geek News Central. You can check that out at geeknewscentral.com. Todd was one of the very first podcasters. In fact, he celebrated his one-year anniversary last week. And since podcasting only started in maybe late September, early October of last year, that's got to make him one of the very first ones. I cannot believe the level of energy this guy has. He must not sleep at all, because he does his podcast, he works, he's got two small children, and he's married. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he must do, like, no cooking, no cleaning, no chores, no nothing. That's all I can figure out. Maybe his wife is a saint. I don't know. I'm not sure how he gets things done. But he does a great job of all of it. This book is really, really good. I really enjoyed it. It's very easy to read, and it's easy to follow. The instructions are not too terribly techy. I was able to keep up with it pretty well. It's well-organized, methodical, takes you through piece by piece each thing that you need to work out. The directions are clear, and they allow for easy experimentation. You can take a little piece of what he teaches you and go test it and see how it works and see whether you understand what he's talking about. The only problem I had with it was too tempting to get started before finishing the book. For example, he told how to pick a good ISP in the book long after I'd already picked one and had started putting stuff up there. But luckily, my choice of VisiWeb actually met his requirements, and I'm not positive, but I think he might even be one of the ones he liked. The thing that makes this book really, really useful for just about anybody interested in this is he understands that everybody has a budget. He gives solutions for low, medium, and high spend. You know, if you got a bunch of money and you're planning on really making this studio sound, he gives you those solutions. But if you got a budget and you want to keep it low end, you can do that too. And he shows you the best way to do that. He takes you from the reader from the very basics of podcasting. The beginning of the book is, you know, what is podcasting? What actually is it? And how do you subscribe to it? All the way through to the publishing of your own podcast shows and even to how to make money on it. I haven't read those chapters yet. The last couple of chapters still got to get going. So maybe I'll be making a fortune after I read those chapters. Who knows? After he explains what podcasting is, he gives alternatives for Podcatcher software for Windows, Mac, Linux. And again, this is another guy who is very operating system agnostic. I think he uses a PC himself, but he makes sure that he always gives you a solution for Mac, Windows, and Linux. So he makes it easy for everybody to be involved. And again, those are the guys who are going to win. So he gives several separate ways to subscribe to podcasts. So he takes you through things like iPodder and how to get things onto your MP3 player. He takes you through the directories. But I think at the time he wrote the book that iTunes 4.9 wasn't out. So 4.9 higher was not out. So he hadn't seen how to do that yet. But it's kind of nice because you can see the other ways to get podcasts today. The most useful part of the book was how to format your podcast. He really stressed that one of the things that's important to do is have a structure to it, have a focus, have a format. And I'd kind of lost energy on my podcast. I didn't really have any kind of focus, and I've been able to better organize my thoughts since he stressed that in the book, made me think about really understanding what am I trying to say, what kind of stuff do I want to talk about. He does go into a lot of detail about how to do the recording. Like, he talks a whole lot about sound cards, but I'm recording on a PowerBook, so I can't change the sound card anyway, and so I didn't really pay too much attention to those chapters. he talks about microphones and headsets, and I got really lucky. I happened to have, I think I talked about this before. The lucky part was not breaking my hand, but I bought some software that allowed me to do voice recording, to do voice recognition when I broke my hand. I bought IBM's Via Voice, and it came with a spectacular microphone that, I'm really, really happy. And if you like the sound now, then you're happy too. If you think it sounds horrible, then I'm wrong. But anyway, this headset I describe actually on my website. If you look for My Favorite Gadgets on the right-hand side, you can see what microphone I'm using there. It's a USB mic, and I'm really, really happy with it. He talked about what recording software to use, and so he's the one who turned me on to Audacity. And so thanks to him, I was able to get this going. That was a much better way. I was doing it in GarageBand at first, and it was just real heavy. You know, that program is made to do so many other things, and this is just really good at doing a plain old recording. I'm not adding instruments or anything like that, so this works a lot cleaner for me. He did a lot of stuff talking about mixers and stuff like that, and I didn't really get too much out of that part. I'm not that professional, I guess. Maybe when I make my millions and I'm ready to go to a higher level, I'll go back and reread those sections. He talked about how to adjust Audacity to get good volume and reasonable file size and reducing noise, that thing I talked about where I do the 10 seconds of dead time at the beginning. That's all stuff I learned in his book. One of the things that you're getting the advantage of directly is his advice on naming conventions. I have completely mimicked his conventions. The way I record the names of my files is completely what he said to do, because it makes it alphabetical, makes it a short name, so it reads well on a small MP3 player screen, so you can tell which one is which. He talked about web hosting, like I said, and even though I'd already picked mine, he, again, this is another case of where he gives advice on different sized audience, different ways to do it, where you can spend a little money, a medium amount of money, or a ton of money, depending on how big you think your audience is going to be, how much money you have, what things to look out for that can be a danger, and that was really good advice. He talked about how to put a podcast up using a weblog, and that's why I'm using WordPress. Man, I did everything that Todd told me to do. I'm learning at the feet of the master there. But he suggested WordPress, and I was like, wow, WordPress. I wonder what that thing is. I wonder if it's open source. Well, I wonder if it's open source, maybe VisiWeb has it. And boom, there it was, and I started poking around, and he was right. It makes it a really easy way to publish. So, I got to thank him for turning me on to WordPress. He also talked about how to create the RSS feed, and even though I just gave you a description of Feeder, I heard it first from Adam Christensen from the MacCast, then from Leo Laporte, and then when I got to that chapter in the book from Todd Cochran. So clearly that was a good tool and a good choice, and he added to that. Overall, this is a great book. It's very readable, well-written, and completely practical. I got to thank my buddy Ron for giving it to me for, I think it was for Christmas last year or so, or maybe, no, it must have been my birthday in April. So it was kind of fun to get that, and it's been a very, very useful tool. Well, that's it for the NoSillaCast for today. Any feedback you want to give me is very welcome at allison@podfeed.com, or you can post a comment next to the show notes and the blog feed that you can see on WordPress there. And I really would like to get feedback. What kinds of things would you like to hear more about? What kinds of things would you like to hear less about? Let me know what you're thinking, and any kind of questions you have, I'd be glad to answer. Thanks for coming, and stay subscribed.